After he had been wandering in the forest for days, he was seeking refuge from the howling winds of a storm. So he got that. There was this old legend about a man, and he came upon this old barn because he was seeking refuge from a storm. And so as he entered the barn, you know, at first it was hard to see, but then his eyes became accustomed to the dark. And to his astonishment, he discovered that this was the barn where the devil kept his storehouse of seeds. They were the seeds that were sown in the heart of people. And the man became really curious, and so he lit a match so he could see better, and he began exploring the piles of all these bins of seeds around him. And he couldn't help but notice that the great majority of them said, "Seeds of discouragement." About that time, one of the devil's helpers arrived to pick up a load of seeds. And the man asked him, "Why the abundance of discouragement seeds?" The helper laughed and replied, "Oh, because they're so effective and they take root so quickly." "Well, do they grow everywhere?" the man asked. At that moment, the devil's helper became very sullen. He glared at the man in disgust and said, "No, they never seem to grow in the heart of a grateful person." It's easy for us to allow discouragement to set in. An annoying neighbor, annoying puppy, elections, work, lack of work, relatives, disagreements, not getting to eat what you want on Thanksgiving. So let me read Habakkuk 3:17-19 to you again. "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights." Let's just pause and pray for a moment before we continue. Lord, we just offer these things. We realize that, yeah, those seeds of discouragement do come in so quickly. And we're talking today about the difference that gratefulness means for all that you have done for us. Lord, would you open our hearts and just push us forward to maturity in you as we look at this passage in Habakkuk and what he has shared. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Habakkuk is really a good one to read if you are experiencing difficulties. And the book is set up as a dialogue between God and Habakkuk. It contains Habakkuk's positive expressions of faith in the context of great uncertainty. And it begins with Habakkuk complaining about all the violence, injustice, and conflict in the world. And can't we do the same? And then it ends with him giving thanks for God's faithfulness, starting then with his enduring faith and joy. The third chapter of Habakkuk is a song to God about God's power and how God is working in the world. And if you look at the beginning of chapter 3, which is the chapter what we were reading from, as Habakkuk looks around at all that is currently going on, he expresses his concerns and his worries and honestly shares his fear about what is to come. And then Habakkuk reflects back on the amazing works that God has done, the acts of deliverance of his people from Egypt, how God directed them as they were wandering in the wilderness and the desert, and then the entrance and settlement that came into the promised land. And in his writing, we see how he moves from this place of fear and deprivation to satisfaction, joy, and confidence. There's difficulty and loss, but he reflects on the power of faith and hope in God. He perseveres in a joy that is beyond common logic. And as a result, his faith is established in full confidence and sure footing. A book I read a long time ago, some of you may have read, is one called Hinds Feet on High Places by Hannah Hennard. And the book takes its title from Habakkuk 3:19. "The Lord God is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon high places. The book is an allegory of a Christian life from salvation through to maturity. And the story is about a young woman named Much Afraid and her journey from her fearing family into the high places of the shepherd, guided by two companions, sorrow and suffering. The book begins with demonstrating how the good shepherd, he's so tender and gentle with Much Afraid. But then as you read, you know, all of a sudden there's these little departures by the shepherd, which you can kind of wonder about. But even though the shepherd may leave for a moment, he returns the same way when the woman cries out, "Come, shepherd, for I am much afraid." The aim of the book is to show how a Christian is transformed into a mature believer. One who walks daily with God is easily on the high places of joy in the Spirit, as in the daily life of mundane and difficult tasks that for many of us can help us lead to losing perspective. Well, this really is the journey of Habakkuk. He matures in his faith, going from a questioning of the pain and the judgment that he sees around him to remembering God's deliverance, to trusting in God, regardless of the immediate circumstances. And in the spaces of just four verses, Habakkuk moves from fear and deprivation to satisfaction, joy, and confidence. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, I think Habakkuk provides us with an example of how we can maintain our faith and give thanks in the midst of trouble. And there are four things that I think that we can take note of this morning. First, he recognizes that there are consequences to sin, and he accepts the suffering that results. And his faith is not shaken by this reality. There is a realization that suffering comes as a result of sin in our lives or because someone else has sinned. And we might not like this fact, but our actions and the actions of others have a far-reaching effect. My daughter Abigail was telling me about a major traffic incident that just occurred in Seattle. Around 4 a.m., a truck caught fire. Fortunately, no one was hurt, but they had to close the express lane for several hours, which was right through the morning commute time. Traffic was hugely impacted, and it doubled people's commute time. Well, Abigail had someone coming in for a time-specific medical test that morning. Well, fortunately, the person did make it in on time, but just barely. And if she had missed the exact time, oh, they would have had to have redone the whole test. Well, think about all the other people, maybe who didn't make appointments on time. For example, just think of, you know, going to the dentist. I was there on Friday. You know, you think of being late for a dentist appointment. Well, you're late, then that impacts the person after you, and after that, you think of how stressful that is on the dentist. This is a whole domino effect. The whole day could be affected just because of one incident, and that's just one office. How about all the other offices? One car, but many people experiencing difficulties as a result. How about all that we're hearing in regards to our planet? Climate changes, flooding, fires, erosion. We have not done a good job of caring for our Earth, and we are seeing the effects. We watched the movie The Heart of Man on Wednesday, and we heard people's stories about abuse in their past and how that has impacted them, not just them, but all their relationships from then on. Suffering occurs from the actions of us and from those of others. And often our response is to look at all this, all these things that are going on around us, and have an attitude of fear. In verse 16, Habakkuk says, "I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept in my bones and my legs trembled." When you watch the news or you read the newspaper, is that how you often feel? And even though Habakkuk feels that way, he doesn't stay there. The second thing that Habakkuk does is he resolves to rejoice in God in all circumstances. He goes on to say, "Yet I will wait patiently. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior." And there are several places in the New Testament where we are reminded of the importance of rejoicing in the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:6-7 tells us, "Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Habakkuk knows that despite the circumstances, God is good and worthy of praise. No matter how bad life is, God is the source of hope and joy. This is a deepening of faith. It's easy to give thanks when good things are happening, when the harvest is in, when you get to eat those great scones, when there's money in the bank, when people are flourishing. But there is power in faith and hope in God. So we can express joy and satisfaction simply in God himself. William Cowper wrote a hymn based on this passage in Habakkuk. And one of the verses says, "Though vine nor fig tree, neither their wanted fruit shall bear. Through all the fields, though all the fields should wither, nor flocks nor herds be there. Yet God, the same abiding, his praise shall tune my voice. For while in him confiding, I cannot but rejoice." What powerful words. But yeah, I even tripped up on some of them because of that old English. This was written a long time ago. So what about today? What is something that maybe is more current? Well, there's a new song by Hillsong United called "Another in the Fire" that I've just found so powerful to listen to. And some of the words of the song are this: "There's a grace when the heart is under fire, another way when the walls are closing in. And when I look at the space between where I used to be and this reckoning, I know I will never be alone. There was another in the fire, standing next to me. There was another in the waters holding back the seas. And should I ever need reminding of how I've been set free, there's a cross that bears the burden where another died for me." The phrase "another in the fire" alludes to the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. And King Nebuchadnezzar at that time had built this huge gold statue, and he commanded that everyone was to bow down and was to worship this image. And anyone who didn't kneel down and worship would be thrown into a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused, because of their faith, to bow down to this idol. And they responded, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." The three were thrown into the fire. But then verse 24 to 26 tells us, "When King Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire, he saw four men walking around in the furnace unharmed: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the Son of God. There was another in the fire." The man who wrote this song, I heard a friend of his share that he was going through a very difficult season in regards to the health of his son. And as this is a very new song, I bet he's still going through that tough time. But he knows that God is with him in the midst of his, in this fire. And he can trust God in the midst of all that's going on. God wants us to take a deeper look at him, trusting him, knowing that we are not alone. We can have faith in a loving God in spite of maybe evidence around us to the contrary. The third thing that Habakkuk does is reflect on who God is and what God has done. Habakkuk's faith is strengthened by remembering the power of God's deliverance. And he looks back at all those times that God stepped in. In the book of Lamentations, we read a similar profession of faith. Lamentations 3:20-24 says, "I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him." Think of what Jesus has done for us. As the prophet Isaiah points out, he's borne our grief. Our sorrows are the ones that he has carried. It was for our sin that he was pierced. We deserve judgment, punishment, but he took our place. He gives us peace. His wounds have brought us healing. It's by his grace that we are saved. Well, we're going to end with a song, "His Grace is Enough." And some of those words are, "Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters and to mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me." The fourth thing that I think we can observe in this text from Habakkuk is experiencing the gifts of confidence and hope from God and giving thanks. In the end of the chapter, Habakkuk declares his unconditional allegiance to God, no matter what personal difficulties may be there for him. And in the last verse that I've read before, but I'll read it again, he says, "The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights." God enables us to have sure footing at difficult times, knowing his presence. There is strength in daily communion with the Lord, through prayer, singing, reading, remembering, reflecting. Halloween is coming up. And as Marion mentioned, you know, we have the Harvest Fair, which is a fun time. I hope you'll come. And I read about a father who was reflecting on taking his kids out trick-or-treating on Halloween. And the kids were quite young. They were like 3 and 5 years old. And as they, you know, toddled up to the front door, he stood back and he watched. And he noticed after they, you know, bravely mustered their trick-or-treat and took the candy, they didn't say thank you. Well, it then became his mission to explain how after they received the candy, they should always say thank you. After many attempts to encourage this grateful behavior pattern, in some frustration he came to understand that they were far more overwhelmed that when a door opens in the darkness, two people with candy appear, than they were overwhelmed with the idea that they were being graced with an unwarranted gift. It dawned on him that gratitude needs a recognition, that this didn't have to happen, that what I am receiving is a pure gift. I neither earned nor deserved this. And the father commented that such insight is maybe too profound for little kids on Halloween night, and perhaps many of us on dark nights. Our focus can be on the dark, afraid, or we can remember what God has done, placing our trust in him, giving thanks for his grace. It is indeed a gift that we don't deserve. Habakkuk's resolution is to be joyful and to make the best out of a bad situation. He knows that despite the circumstances, life is good, and God is good and worthy of praise. No matter how bad life is, God is the source of hope and joy. What makes a difference? God's presence. I think this morning that we can learn a lot from Habakkuk's dialogue. With him, yes, we can ask questions. God understands. And we can be grounded in God's mighty acts of deliverance. And like with Habakkuk, we can join him in song, giving thanks and rejoicing in the Lord. Let's pray. And as we pause to pray this morning, I want to leave room for you to pray. Just to have that conversation with God about what is on your heart. Then reflecting and giving thanks for what he has done. For his gift of grace and salvation. That we don't deserve it. And then choosing to rejoice in him. Allowing him to set your feet on sure footing. So take a moment and pray. Lord, we offer all these prayers up to you, and we give you thanks. In your name, Jesus, amen.